There we go. Cool. So let me just open up in prayer. I know we just prayed, but obviously that's a good thing to do. God, be with us here tonight. This is a heavy topic. A lot's going to be said, and we all have different histories with this topic. So I just pray that your Holy Spirit would be here in our midst, and you'd fill this place with your presence and your peace and your joy, and you'd fill me with your presence, and as well as Sarah and Jeremy, and allow us to say only the things that you want to be said, God. And let your peace and love just comfort us if there's any brokenness or condemnation whatsoever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So have you ever actually like stopped and listened to the words of a song that you listened to on the radio and wondered how maybe they influence you? So last year I did this and I want to do it again because it's really funny how this particular song is so like perfect as an example for what I want to convey tonight. So I'm going to go ahead and play this song, at least half of it. So check this out. It's a familiar song. And we could bump it.
Nice to meet you, where you been? I could show you incredible things. Magic, madness, heaven, sin. Saw you there and I thought, oh my God, look at that face. You look like my next mistake. Love's a game, wanna play. Make the bad guys good for a weekend. So it's gonna be forever, or it's gonna go down in flames. You can tell me when it's over, if the high was worth the pain. Got a long list of ex-lovers, they'll tell you I'm insane. Cause you know I love the players, and you love the game. Cause we're young and we're reckless, we'll take this way too far. It'll leave you breathless. Dressed like a daydream. So it's gonna be forever, or it's gonna go down in flames. You can tell me when it's over.
So, obviously that song has some craziness going on. I mean, there's like some up and downs. But one of the biggest things she says in that song is, love is like a game. It's like a game. And what I want to tell you today is that God has a better way for you than the up and downs craziness that's conveyed in that video. It's not a game. And of course it's fun. Dating is fun. And I like Taylor Swift in general. She's fun. And that's a cool video. It's a very impressive video. But in general, what I want you to understand is be more aware of kind of the lyrics that you're putting into your heart. Because those lyrics go into your heart, they go into your mind, and it starts to shape your worldview, how you see reality. And you end up thinking that that is true. And that what they say in those songs is true, and that's how you're supposed to behave in dating relationships, which, as you could see, has some good times, but also has some really bad times. But God's way is more even-keeled. It's more healthy. That's obviously not the healthiest relationship. I mean, she says, grab your passport and my hand. I can make the bad guys good for a weekend. No, Taylor, you can't make the bad guys good for the weekend. Or, because you know, I love the players and you love the game. So you're admitting that you're dating a player and this whole thing is a game. So you're already admitting that. Okay, do you think that's the best use of your time, Taylor? Or should you be investing in your education? Should you be investing in your own personal growth and development? I know she's rich and she's the most famous singer in the world, but if you were in her shoes, right? None of us are the most famous singers in the world. So the rest of us need to invest in ourselves and not just enjoy the game and love the players. Don't date the players, ladies. And guys, don't be a player. Okay, that's the point. This isn't a game. This is real life. And when you mess around with dating and you mess around with sex and relationships, those things scar your soul. They could scar you really bad. And it could determine the course of your future. It could determine the rest of your life. So it's not a game. And so when you see that, and if you're not aware of what you're putting into your soul, you might end up living like that, and 10 years from now, have all these scars that you don't want, and you're having to deal with all this baggage. You ever hear people in their 30s talk about all the relationship baggage they had to deal with? That's because they weren't aware of how the people around them and how the TV and the media is influencing their dating life and influencing their behavior. So I want better than that for you. And I know God wants better than that for you. And of course, we could bob our heads to the beat. It's fun. It's a cool song. You know, it's all good. But I want you to develop an awareness of how it's not a game. There's more at stake. Because why? Because you're involved. And you know who you are? You are a beloved child of God. And the reason why dating matters and shouldn't be taken lightly is because you matter. That's why this is important. It's because you matter, because you are sacred. You are a son and daughter of the Most High King, the creator of the universe, who knit you together in your mother's womb, and you deserve to be treated as such. How many of you know you deserve to be treated as the son or daughter that you are? Yes, I hope so. You deserve that. And never date anybody who won't treat you like that. You don't want to date a person like that, right? That's why it matters. So don't fall into the modern cultural trap that is what the lyrics in these songs try to convey, because God has a better way for you. God's not trying to keep you from having fun, by the way. Oftentimes people think, oh, these Christians, God's, they just want to keep us from having fun, and it's all legalism, and the Bible says, you know, don't have sex till marriage. It's all about what you can't do and not about what you're supposed to do and being the healing of the world and just participating in the destruction of the world. No. God's not trying to keep you from having fun. He's trying to protect you because you're his daughter. He's trying to protect you. You're his son. Let me tell you a story. Imagine you're on a date, and guys, you pick up the girl from her house. The girl still lives at home because she's in college, right? But you pick her up from the house. You take her out for a nice date. You bring her home. You bring her to your doorstep. And the date went well. Maybe it's the fourth or fifth date, right? Because nobody kisses on the first date. So you take her to the doorstep. And you're like, hey, I had a really good time with you. I really did. It was amazing. She's like, yeah, I did too. You're like, okay, well, hey, maybe we could do this again sometime? She's like, yeah, I'd like that. Okay, cool. And then you guys start kissing, right? And you're kissing. You're like, oh, this is awesome. You know, I bought dinner, so this is awesome. Because it was so worth those 10 hours I had to work for that dinner. And you start kissing. And then you open your eye. And you see behind the window on the doorstep of her house, her dad pulls the curtain back and he sees you and he goes, and he pops his shotgun. And you're like, oh, hey, I'll see you later. You're tripping over. You're trying to get to your car. I'll see you later. Have a good night. Maybe we'll do this again. Okay, bye. You get out of there quickly. Why? Because all of a sudden, it wasn't about your hormones anymore. It was about, oh my God, this girl is a daughter. Whoa, this girl isn't just about satisfying my own needs. This girl is a daughter of this guy who's got a gun, and the guy, the dad, wants to protect his daughter. So I need to treat her as such and just be like, oh, I'm sorry, hey, have a good night, bye. That's how God looks at you. That's how God looks at the person you're dating. And he tells you, are you going to treat my daughter like the woman of God that she is? Are you going to treat my son like the man of God that he is? That's what we have to remember, is that God's always pulling the curtain back and he's looking at us and he's like, are you going to treat her? Are you going to treat him like the son and daughter that they are? That's what we have to remember, that this is the foundation of dating, is recognizing your own self-worth and recognizing the value and worth in the person you're dating. This is the foundation. So with that being said, I got a couple more things to share. I'm passionate about this. I had a lot of experience, but I'll get to that more. I'll get to that later. So leave people better than you found them. That's the first thing I want you to remember. Leave people better than you found them. Can everyone repeat that after me? Leave people better than you found them. Yes. If there's one thing to remember, remember that. When it comes to dating, you're not taking anything away from them during a dating relationship. You're offering your strength to them. You're not trying to gain strength from her, guys. You're offering your strength to her. Come on, people. Ah, I like that. We got some Southern Baptists in the house. Okay. Leave people better than you found them. I'll give you a story. I'll give you a little glimpse on my own dating life. This past Sunday, I've been dating this girl, and this past Sunday, we're sitting at a restaurant. We're sitting there at a restaurant, and I'm having a great time with her. Eye contact, it's going great. I'm there. And then all of a sudden, I see this girl walk by, and she looks at me, and I make eye contact with her, and I realize it's a girl that I dated 6 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago. And she's there with her husband and her new baby boy. And I acted like I didn't really see her. I was just like, hey, yeah, oh, what were you saying? And I kept talking. And then so she walks by, and we happened to be sitting near like the drinking area. And so she came over and walked past me a couple times. And I didn't make eye contact again. I was like, I don't want to talk to her. I'm on a date. I don't even want to talk to her. But it's cool. If she does say hi, it's fine because things ended well. So after about the third time she walked by, she taps me on the shoulder. She's like, hey, Kevin, it's me, Bethany. I was like, hey, Bethany, acting like it was the first time I noticed. I was like, oh, what do you know, you know? So I stand up, I give her a little side hug. How are you, you know? And she goes, oh, here's my husband, and this is my new baby boy. And so I said, oh, hey, cutest little baby boy. And I couldn't help but think, wow, if we would have stayed together, this would have been my little baby boy, you know? I was like, hey, little buddy, you know, like, how you doing? But it was really odd, awkward, but also fine. And this is the point, is that it was actually really okay. Here's why. Because we both left each other better than we found them. I introduced her to my date. I said, oh, this is blah, blah, blah. You know, she's like, oh, cool. So we, you notice that, right? I was like, this is blah, blah, blah. And so I introduced them, and it was a very pleasant conversation. It really was. And it was very healthy, and it was good. You know why? Like I said, we left each other better than we found each other. We treated each other with purity and respect, and it was a very healthy Christian dating relationship. So neither of us have ill will towards the other person. And I could look her husband in the eyes, shake his hand, and be like, hey, how you doing? I could say hi to the little baby. It's all good because it was a healthy, good Christian relationship. We left each other better than we found each other. And then I sit back down with the girl I'm on a date with that I've been dating, and I go, hey, sorry about that. That was funny, but, you know, anyways. She goes, you know, that's so cool that you're able to converse so healthy like that. I mean, she didn't say healthy, but she used some other word. And I was like, yeah, it's good. You know, one of the things I try to convey that I heard myself is leave people better than you found them. So that's how that played out in real life. And I want to tell you that when you're on a date with somebody, if you don't end up marrying that person is somebody else's spouse. And one day you might be at a restaurant like I was just 5 days ago, and all of a sudden you run into that person. How do you want that interaction to go? How do you want that interaction to go? Trust me, you want it to be healthy, you want it to be okay, not awkward. It's already awkward, don't make it more awkward by doing things that you'll later regret because that's not your husband, that's not your wife. It might not be. Next thing, protect your heart and your body. Protect your heart and your body. Enough said on that. Third thing, don't have sex till marriage. Okay. On this, some of us might have messed up in this area. That's okay. God's grace is greater than your sin. God's grace is greater than your sin. It's okay. A $50 bill, a $100 bill, a $1,000 bill does not lose its value when it exchanges hands, when it goes in and out of pockets, when it goes in and out of wallets, when it gets used at a teller machine, when it gets used at a grocery store. A $100 bill does not lose its value, even if it's crumpled up and it's stained, whatever. It still is worth $100. You do not lose your value if you have messed up in this area. You are still a son or daughter of God. You don't lose your value. If you are ready to date, take a risk. If you are ready to date, if you are emotionally ready to date, financially ready to date, if you know yourself well enough to where you would actually be the type of person you would want to date, then take a risk. Ask somebody out. Guys, ask a girl out. Girls, make it easy for a guy to ask you out. You know, maybe say hi to him. Don't just go hide in the corner and expect the guy to go chase after you and ask you out. He's going to be like, oh, she's obviously not interested in me. She's like over in the corner, you know. Maybe walk by and be like, oh, hey, how are you? You know, that way the guy's like feeling a little more confident to say hi to you. Make it easier for a guy. It's hard being a guy to go up to girls and say hi to them. You might deny him. You might crush his dreams and his spirit. He might think you're his dream girl. And by you being like, no, I'd never go out with you, he might go in a 5-year depression. Who knows, you know? So be kind. Be kind to guys, ladies. Make it a little obvious. You don't have to make it too obvious, but make it a little obvious. Guys have it rough, okay? I know. Okay, take it slow. Next thing, take it slow. Nobody ever says, I wish I would have not taken it slow. So take it slow. Be a part of a community. Bring them around your friends. If you're dating somebody on the side and nobody knows about him, nobody knows about her, that's not good. You have your own little side dating relationship, but all your good Christian friends are over here. You kind of keep this world over here and compartmentalize your other world over here. No, bring them around your friends. Say, hey, what do you think about this person? What do you think about this girl, this guy? And dating should be based on friendship, not physical intimacy, okay? Take it from me again. I've done this. I've gone straight to the physical in dating relationships, and that's not good. It doesn't last. It clouds your mind. It clouds your judgment. What happens is all these oxytocin and dopamine brain chemicals start going off in your brain, and you feel like you have butterflies, and you feel like it's the most euphoric feeling you've ever felt, right? Because you're in this dating relationship, and you're letting it get physical when you barely even know the person. Those types of relationships rarely last. When I said, when you're ready to date, you know, when I was in high school and college, I barely dated at all. I was focused on school and sports. When I graduated from USC, got a business degree, started working in Irvine, I was making good money. I bought a convertible BMW, brand new, at 23 years old, and I was driving down PCH, and I was going on dates with girls that I thought were gorgeous, and I thought I was living the life. And I realized after getting to know some of them that I wasn't really ready to date myself, that I still had some things I needed to grow up on. Even though I was financially ready, I had a good job, I wasn't ready. Like mentally, emotionally, I wasn't mature enough. I didn't know myself enough to be a healthy individual. God had a lot of pruning and maturing he had to do on me in order to make me ready to date. So you need to be aware of where you're at. Are you ready to date? Are you really? Are you the type of person you would want to date? Like this last one says, allow God to change you into the type of person you would want to date. With your anger issues, with your lust issues, with whatever envy is still in your heart, all these different character flaws that God still needs to shape and form and make you into his image, are you the type of person you would actually want to date? If not, then work on yourself. Don't waste the time. Don't just sit around and be like, well, I'm waiting for Prince Charming or the princess to come into my life. Work on yourself. You know, one of the biggest benefits I've had by not getting married right away. I had a couple girls in my early 20s that I thought I was going to marry. It didn't work out. I got a broken heart. They got a broken heart. I've been on both ends of the spectrum. And I will say one of the biggest benefits about not being married until, you know, hopefully I'm going to get married in the next year or two. I'm hoping maybe this girl's the one. I don't know. But one of the biggest benefits is I've allowed God to change me into the type of person that I would want to date. I've matured, I've grown, and people have affirmed that in me, and they've said, dude, you are going to be such a better husband now than you were when I first met you 7 years ago. You're going to be such a better father now, Kevin, than you would have been when you were 25 when I first met you. You didn't know what you were doing back then. I was like, I know, I didn't. There's a maturing process, a stretching process that we have to go through. So don't waste the time. Don't just sit around and wait. Become the person God wants you to be. Single people are not second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. Jesus was single. Paul was single. Paul even says it's better to be single like I am so you could do more for the kingdom of God. Guess what? I got my master's degree. I went on mission trips. I traveled all around the world. I did a lot in my 20s while I was single. And I dated and I got to know other people. They got to know me. And I was able to work on developing myself. So don't waste this time. Some of you might get married next year. Some of you might get married 10 years from now. Don't waste the time, no matter what, okay? Work on yourself. Let God develop you. And don't rely on physical chemistry alone. The second to the last one here, this is the last story, and then I'm going to pass it to my sister-in-law and brother. But I was on a date once. It was actually a girl from Yorba Linda. I was 25. This is like 8 years ago. I met her at Rock Harbor. She lived in Yorba Linda. Went to Rock Harbor on Sunday nights. Like I said, I was 25. She was 25 too, I think. But I picked her up here in Yorba Linda. I never thought I'd be working over here. It's so funny because I drive by this restaurant all the time now. But I take her to Mimi's right here on Imperial and Yorba Linda Boulevard. And I remember sitting there at Mimi's. It was like a second date. But at Rock Harbor, I thought she was the most gorgeous girl I'd ever seen. And I had the courage to say hi to her. I got her number. We talked. And we went on a couple dates. But I remember being on that date, looking across the table from her as we're having dinner, and thinking she was so beautiful when I first got there. But then after about 2 hours of talking, the beauty started to fade. And I started to see her soul because she started talking so much. And you know how you start looking at something long enough, you no longer, the novelty fades. The novelty goes away and you just see the person for who they are, like God intends, right? And you start to see who they are. And I remember thinking, you're not as pretty as I thought about an hour ago. I thought you were gorgeous, but not really anymore. Man, because there's an inner beauty that she failed to develop. And that's what I'm telling you. There was an inner beauty that she failed to develop because she wasted a lot of years not developing herself. And if she would have had something else to say besides, yeah, the spaghetti's really good. Thanks so much for taking me here. Maybe we'd still be together. But it was just so surface level, and I tried to get a little deeper. I tried to see if there was anything else there beyond the skin-deep beauty, and there really wasn't. There wasn't much there. And so it didn't work out. So again, work on yourself. Become the best person you could be. And I have a bunch of other slides talking about marriage and other things, but I'm not going to go to them. I put them on your notes, and I gave you all the things that I've learned over the last 10 years from books, sermons, pastors, mentors of mine, and I put it all there for you. But I've already been here 22 minutes, my little stopwatch says, so I'm going to pass it on and let this wonderful lady here talk. She is my sister-in-law. She married my brother. I was the best man at their wedding about, 5 years ago? But she has her master's in marriage and family therapy. They have a unique love story, and she's going to share a little bit about that. But yeah, she does marriage counseling for a living, and she's wonderful at it, and she loves talking about this stuff. So we're excited to have her here. So would you welcome Sarah Livermore?
It's on?
Yeah, there you go.
Give it up for Kev. He nailed it, didn't he? Oh my gosh. He so nailed it. Oh, okay. So, dating. Oh, dating is so confusing, right? It's so complicated. Oh, it can be so annoying sometimes. Even Valentine's Day, once you guys get married, you'll be like, there's all this pressure, like, Valentine's Day comes with all this pressure. Even once you're married, it's like, I am in love. Don't tell me when to celebrate my love, right? Okay, so do we have those first slides? It's a little transition. Do you guys follow some e-cards on Facebook? Oh my gosh. The only thing more exhausting than planning Valentine's Day is pretending to be excited about it. Oh gosh. Okay, next one. Just sending a preemptive apology since Valentine's Day can't possibly live up to your expectations. Love that one. Last one. May our love last longer than a convenience store rose. Love that one too. Oh gosh. So as Kevin said, I work as a marriage and family therapist. And so you guys can imagine that most people I work with are already in relationship, right? A lot of them married. And so I want to ask you guys to start with, what do you imagine that these couples have in common when you think about the couples that a therapist works with? What do you imagine they have in common? Anybody? Guesses? Yeah. Okay, definitely. Anything else? Yeah, in the back. Okay. Yeah, some early childhood stuff. So the thing I want you to remember is that all these couples that come in for help, they all were in love with each other at one point, right? And now they're just so dissatisfied. And you can't help but think as a therapist, even if you're giving them all the tools to help them have a more satisfying and better relationship, you can't help but think sometimes people just didn't make a good decision. Like, sometimes they have such compatibility issues that you're just looking at them going, this isn't a great decision. This is a lot of work to make this marriage work. So one of the things I want to instill in you guys tonight is that, as you know, I'm sure, marriage takes work to make it stay satisfying and feel good. But if we are not strategic in our dating and we don't bring our brains into the process of dating, we can make our marriage twice as much work even. And so what I want to leave to you with you guys today is not to make your marriage harder than it needs to be. And that starts with strategic dating, okay? So let me tell you a little bit about my husband and I. You'll meet him too at the end. So when I think about our story, there's so much heartache in our story. And when I think about it, and obviously so much joy. Meeting him and dating him was the healthiest relationship I had ever been in. I literally felt myself healing from certain things. Not that being in a relationship is the only way you can heal. It's just God chose to heal some of my wounds through our relationship. And so it was this extremely wonderful experience for me, and yet I had so much heartache. And the reason I had heartache is because when I was single, I was praying a lot. And I asked for confirmation signs because through a series of events, I got to a place where I did not trust my judgment in the process. I had dated a few other guys and just had my heart broken in different ways. And I got to a place where I was literally like, I don't think I can make a good choice in this. I'm going to screw it up. And so my prayers were very like desperate for God to be involved. And so one of the things I did was I asked for confirmation signs. And very early in our dating, I got a few. And it was like, it was something that was undeniable in my mind. It was like, whoa, this might be it. So we're cruising along, we're dating, and everything's going good. And then about 2 years into the relationship, all my now husband could say at the time was, I love you, you're my best friend, but I'm not sure about the future. And that's all he could say, like over and over again. I'm uncertain. I don't know what the future holds. And at that point, I felt like, 2 years? Like, you love me? I'm your best friend 2 years? You have no clue? Like, you can't say you think it's going to work out? He couldn't say any of that. So we ended up breaking up, but right before, we had broken up two times in those 2 years, but right before the second breakup, I was in my bedroom one night just praying desperately. I was like on my knees because I was in just so much like turmoil over it and so confused. And in the middle of my prayer asking God for clarity, I heard not an audible voice, but like something came over and interrupted my conscious and said October, like literally mid-sentence. And I was like, okay, October. And I didn't know what that meant. Went on to break up with Jeremy and a few weeks later because I just could not take it anymore. And at that point, I was like, I don't care what October has. I cannot take this anymore, you know? And so I think this was like in July. And so a few months passed, and I had different thoughts. One thought I had was, I'm going to get clarity in October. I don't know what it will look like, but it's going to be clarity. The other thought I had is, that could have just been me being very hopeful. I don't know if that's God. I don't know how to know if it's God talking to me. Maybe I'm crazy, right? So it didn't put like a whole lot of like weight on this. And so The end of the story is in October, Jeremy started contacting me again. And at that time, ladies, I had to set a boundary, okay? We'll talk about that. I told him, it was a 2.5 year point. If you don't have a ring, you're not spending more time with me. And you guys, this was the man of my dreams. I mean, he met everything that I was praying for. But I was not willing to put my heart through that anymore. Just like the uncertainty and not knowing. So soon after, he went out and got the ring and brought it to me. And this was in October, you guys. And we ended up dating longer than that. There wasn't a proposal there because it just didn't feel right. And I wanted it to feel right. So the point in all this story, a couple points in the story is that, number one, God cares about your love life. And God wants to be involved in the details. And the other thing I'll say is that when God gives you a sign for yes or no, either way, even if everything around you is giving you conflicting information, something that doesn't match up with what God's telling you, you can trust what God is telling you. Okay, now, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, in those few months, I didn't know what October meant. All I knew was that clarity was going to come in October. Maybe it was my husband saying, I'm never going to marry you. Maybe it was me going, I don't want to marry him. I didn't know, and I didn't care. All I wanted was clarity, and clarity came in October, and obviously we're married now. So God cares about your love life. He wants to be involved. He will be involved as much as you let him be involved. And if he gives you a message about anything, and you know it's him, you can trust it, even if everything is telling you no, including, in my case, my husband was telling me no, right? Okay. So why does God care about marriages so much? And why would God care about dating? Marriage is a symbol of God's love for the church and the church's love for God, right? So of course God wants marriages to thrive. Of course he does. If God wants marriages to thrive because this is a display of our love for him and his love for us, he wants you to make a good choice. He wants you to make the best choice, right? He doesn't want mediocre marriages where people are just, I want job security, don't get me wrong. But he doesn't want you in marriage therapy. He doesn't want you divorced. He wants you thriving. And in order to thrive, you need to make a good decision, right? God knows who would be the best match for you. If God knew you in the, God says he knew us before we were in the womb, right? Jeremiah 1:5. And if that's true, he knows your personality type. He knows your love language. You guys may have heard of the love languages. He knows who you're going to be compatible. He can see what your path looks like with several different marriage options for you. He can see what your path will look like. He would want you to be with somebody who you could bring the most glory to him with, right? He can see all of those outcomes because he's omniscient. Okay, so how do we make healthy marriages? Well, there's a lot that goes into it. But the first is to have a healthy dating process and be strategic in your dating. So one thing I want to share with you guys tonight is echoing Kevin's passion for guarding your heart, guarding your emotions, and being selective about who you fall in love with. This sounds kind of weird. If you're falling in love, you can't control it, right? What I would say is, You can't control the falling in love part. You can control the deciding who you're going to fall in love with, right? And there was a study, maybe you guys have seen it online. It's actually really interesting. Some researchers took like a few hundred people, got them all together, opposite sex, sat them down across from each other, gave the people like 40 different questions to ask each other. Just to help them get to know each other. And a lot of relationships were formed out of this experiment, and it was something that kind of caught them off guard. And what they found is that falling in love and creating that intimacy and connection is kind of easy, actually. kind of easy. Just spend a good amount of time with someone you're moderately attracted to, asking each other intimate questions. You're going to realize you feel connected, okay? And so what I would say is that falling in love and finding someone to love is actually the easy part. What's the hard part is deciding who is a good fit, who is the right person for you to fall in love with. That's the harder part. And so these people who got into these marriages and got into these relationships that I work with that didn't have their brain involved in the process, you know, just had that really powerful sexual attraction guiding the whole thing. These are the people I'm working with now because they're realizing we're not compatible. We're having so much conflict over these issues, right? This is why you want to learn how to be a strategic dater. Number two, you want to learn how to be proactive versus reactive. We all know what reactive is. It's sort of like this, you know, you're reacting in response to something. It's kind of lackadaisical and haphazard. You don't want to be a reactive dater. What that looks like is reaching out to anyone who's reaching out to you, okay? You want to be proactive. You want to find out about their character. You want to find out about their values. And obviously you do that in the dating process, but what I'm trying to convey to you is that you may be creating a connection with somebody because you are spending that time with them. And what happens is, especially when we get sexual or the physical part is ignited too soon, it manipulates that connection, makes it stronger than what it should be, and eventually you're going to start rationalizing and justifying this person because you have such a strong connection because you prematurely got involved with them physically. Kev kind of touched on this, right? So now you can't even make a good decision because you've been connected already in this way. Okay, let's go on. Number three, beg God to be involved in your dating process. I kind of talked about this with my story. It's the second most important decision you're going to ever make, more important than what college you're going to and what job you're going to get. Of course you want God involved. Of course you want him leading you. And he wants to. Okay, soulmate theory. Do I believe in soulmates? No, I don't believe in the soulmate theory. There's not one person out there for all of us. There are several, many, probably many different people that we could have a good marriage with. The difference is that not all of these people are crossing our path at this time, at a time when it's right for us to be strategic about finding the right person for us. This is why you need God's omniscience, his attribute trait of being all-knowing. You need that working for you. Okay, so there's a difference. Radical self-acceptance, number five. Kev kind of talked about this too. We need radical self-acceptance and really good insight and awareness to be strategic daters. We can't know what we can't know what's right for us unless we know ourselves, right? So go to therapy if you need to. Work on yourself, like Kev was talking about. The only thing I'll add to the sex part, Kev nailed it. The only thing I'll add is that not only is your mind, when you guys, when we prematurely engage in sexual activity or have that be the focus, not only is our brain being flooded with the dopamine and the oxytocin, which is released during sex, but the part of our brain that's involved in decision making, prefrontal cortex, actually goes offline a little bit as these hormones and chemicals are flooding our body and our brain. And so you're literally not able to make as good of a choice. And that's how these people end up in front of a marriage therapist later, because they let their hormones guide them. Okay? So it's not just about God trying to take all the fun away. God's trying to protect you. Sorry. Seven, this one's kind of interesting. Shaming people for needing to be physically attracted. I'm finding this a lot, especially in Christian circles. There's a lot of like shaming going on for people who say, you know, I'm not interested in that person because I'm not physically attracted. You guys, physical attraction is part of God's design. And actually, it's a measure of protection against infidelity for your union. You need to be physically attracted, okay? Now, how that comes is differently. For guys, they usually know pretty quickly if they are. For women, women can be won over. It's different. God made us different. But we need to, now, if a guy or girl is only thinking about physical attraction, yeah, that's superficial, and it's not going to get them very far. They might get into marriage. It's not going to be very satisfying. But shaming people because they're saying, no, I'm not physically attractive, that's not fair, and it's not respectful of God's design. So we got to give people, we got to allow people to be who they are, right? Okay, number 8, compatibility, personality versus values. So we don't need someone that has the same personality as us. If we're an introvert, we don't need to marry an introvert. People with opposite styles of personality can have extremely satisfying relationships. Where you don't want to mess up is with values. That is what gets people into marriage therapists and also gets them divorced. You want to know what their parenting styles are. You want to know how they spend their money. What are the three things or few things that couples argue over? Money, parenting, sex, right? Those are like the top three topics. Now, obviously, with the sex one, if you're waiting till marriage, you're not going to really know. You're going to have to figure it out as you go, right? Once you get married. But you want to understand how someone you're dating is spending their money because they're going to be spending yours, right? And you want to know what their values are with raising children so you don't have a ton of conflict over that. Okay, and yes, you need good communication, the way someone else said that. That's something that can be learned. And then lastly, number 9, get your community involved. I totally agree with what Kev said. A lot of couples, they just start becoming isolated when they meet somebody. But actually, while you're in that falling in love stage, right? We talked about how prefrontal cortex goes offline a little bit. You're a little bit less rational. It's harder for you to analyze and think about those important things that help you be strategic in your dating. You actually want your community involved at that time. I know this couple, we know this couple, they're dating for years. I've told Jeremy about them. And she, great sense of humor. She had a great sense of humor. But every time they were together, she would bust these jokes. I'd be busting up. And he would never laugh, like ever. And I thought she had a great sense of humor. And to me, it was like, hello, red flag, like 3 years ago, red flag. Why is this relationship still going on? You know? Your community can help you with stuff like that. When you're not being rational, they can say, hey, you know, he didn't treat you that great when he did this. Like, okay. So obviously not in a codependent way where you can't think for yourself, but yeah, get your community involved. Your life when you're dating should look pretty similar. When you're dating somebody exclusively should look pretty similar to how it looked before you were dating. You should be doing some of the similar things you were doing. Shouldn't it have like your dating life and your pre-dating life and they look totally different? No. Okay, so those are kind of my words of wisdom. Obviously, this topic is just so, there's so much to it. But what we want to do right now is just kind of open it up for a Q&A. If there's anything confusing that was said, if you guys don't have any questions, that's cool too. This is my husband.
Yeah. How you doing? I'll sit on the little stool here. She's kind of a big deal, so as you can tell. I'm the boring brother. Hi. He's much more energetic and exciting. I'll just kind of give you the warning in advance. You're not going to get as much excitement out of me, but I'll do my best.
So does anyone feel like they just have a question they don't know? They're just like, dating's confusing. I want to know about this. Anything like that that a married couple could help you with? Yeah.
Yeah. How you doing?
Oh, yeah.
Why you gotta call me out like that, man? I thought we were bros. I mean, come on.
I'll share. Do you want me to share?
Well, I'll give it a shot, okay. And then you could correct me.
Versions, right?
Yeah, so I came off a string of relationships, and I should have taken a break. I should have taken a break and give myself some time to heal and kind of grieve the losses that I experienced. I had my heart broken, and I just went on to the next relationship right away. And what that did, it left me raw and wounded. And I never let God bring that healing that I should have had to kind of mend those wounds. And if I did, I would have been much more ready for her. In fact, I had a little bit of a chance to take a break, but I went to the next relationship, and never gave myself that space. So I wasn't ready for her. And my heart, when I met her, wasn't ready for a big relationship because I felt like, you know, I just got out of a workout, so to speak. You know, you just need to kind of take a break and gain that strength again. And unfortunately, it led to a long process of dating. But having said that, we do recognize that dating slowly and logically and strategically is important, and it's best not to rush into it. So it gave us a chance to really evaluate our future together and not make the mistakes that we saw in our own families, and gave us a chance to be a little bit more certain that we were going to go forward making the right decision.
Cool. Anybody else? Yeah. Yeah, how to discern it. Yeah, totally. So I'm not going to give the details, because when you do it, it usually doesn't make sense to anyone else. But the thing I'll say is that God communicated to me in a way where I had I shared things with him, and he was the only one that knew about him and knew about those things. And they weren't even related to Jeremy. They were just like things. Okay, that were important to me, but only God knew about them. And the communication I received from God said some. If I could put language to it, it said, "I heard you, I see you, and I know what you need." Okay, so that's not what I heard audibly, but what I got from him is that's what it said. Now, what I will say, because this is a confusing subject, is I will say, ask for confirmation. So if you get a sign, and I started doing this later, okay, God, I think this is one, but honestly, I don't have enough history with this. I don't know if I should trust my judgment on this. I need more. Okay. And so not early in the relationship, I didn't do that. But later, when I thought God was telling me October, there were at least two other times where when I was begging for clarity, God told me October two other times. And that's because I was asking for confirmation. So do it. Oh, gosh. It's just so amazing. Oh, my gosh. Anybody else?
How far is too far?
Right. So... So we saved ourselves in our relationship for marriage, and we definitely had nights of temptation, obviously. So we heard our marriage counselor, the guy that did our premarital class, say that, he just put it frankly, don't touch each other's private parts. And if you avoid that and you make that your rule, you can have a nice, longer relationship free of that being a distraction. The other thing I'll add to that rule, don't touch each other's private parts, is just, you know, get it out there, is don't lie down together on a couch, on a bed, in a car, anywhere, because when that happens, your head hits something and you no longer think rationally because your head is against a pillow or a car cushion or something. So for men, we tend to pride ourselves as being rational people. We don't let our emotions sway us. But guys, we get really dumb when our head hits something and it's soft. We don't think straight. And we become like dumber than dogs. So I guarantee you, if you don't lie down, you don't even decline at more than a 45, and your head's upright, you'll still be able to be logical. And women, if you see this dude's head hitting something and he looks relaxed, get out of that situation. Run for your life. It's all downhill from there. It's like, you know, after 2 a.m., nothing good happens. I'm telling you, if his head's against something, bad things are going to happen. So, guys.
The other thing I forgot to mention.
Keep that in mind.
The other thing I forgot to mention. Do premarital counseling before you get engaged, okay? The whole point of premarital is to help you figure out if your marriage is going to be horrible or not. Okay, you're already in a point where you feel like it's going to be great, right? But you might really get a lot out of those conversations that at least kind of you want to go in eyes wide open, right? So don't do your premarital after you're engaged. I mean, do it if you're already engaged. It's always better to do it. But you guys have a clean slate right now. You can control this and make it how you want to be and make it the best. Do it before you get engaged. Anything else?
Question? Good question. You want to take that? She's the expert.
So, I like what Kev said. You never regret going too slow, okay? But do you have like a personal situation right now, or you're just curious?
Curious.
Oh, okay. I mean, you want to go through all seasons with somebody. So, I mean, a year is kind of like minimum, I would say. A year is like safe before you make that decision. But if you guys aren't in a financial place to get married or whatever the situation is, take longer if you can.
I would add to that, Max, you got my mic. I would add to that just from my own dating experience, because I have dated a lot, even though I'm not married. That's why I brought them up here, because they are married. But I would say that the relationships that I felt like were really healthy in my 20s and even now in my early 30s is the ones where I got to know the person more in terms of their soul, their personality, what they're passionate about, what they value, where they're going in their lives, what they're all about, what are they most passionate about in their lives, and if those things align with where I'm going in my life and whether or not we're compatible on all these other levels rather than just physical. But what I would say is the relationships that I knew were unhealthy were the ones where we got physical too soon before I actually knew who she was and what she was all about. We started kissing before I knew what her middle name was, or where she grew up, or whatever, right? Like, you have to know the person on a deeper level than physical. And so if you find yourself getting physical before you even really know the person, what they're really all about, and what they dream about, where they're going in their lives, then you're off pace. You're not at a good pace, and you need to take a step back and reevaluate that relationship.
Yeah. I would say take a couple months to see if you guys can enjoy each other just talking about kind of normal stuff that comes up, hobbies, interest, the new concert that's coming up. I don't know. Like, take a couple of months to, like, just see if you guys can hold conversation and enjoy each other without, I mean, share a little bit of details, but if you guys have, like, a ton of past trauma and all this stuff, yeah, I would wait a couple months. I mean, people have to, I feel like people need to earn that part of you, you know? Like, you don't just get to know all that stuff. Like, yeah.
If he's offering it, maybe too soon, you may want to say, hey, let's hold on that till we get to know each other a little bit better, because I want to share about my story too, but let's do it after we, you know, have some time together.
Yeah, and I really like your question, because what you're talking about can manipulate the intimacy process. So if two people are telling their whole life story on the first date, all of a sudden you feel really connected. It's kind of like that study I mentioned, right? But you don't know if you should be this connected. All you know is, dang, we, wow, you know? And so,
5 minutes?
Yeah, I'd say a few months. I think it depends. I think it starts getting tricky once it's beyond like 8 or 10 years. I think it starts getting tricky. But I mean, a lot of people have very satisfying relationships, even with that big of an age gap. We know a couple who's 19-year age difference, and they have triplets, and it's fine. And so, age isn't everything. But I know one thing I wanted for myself is I wanted someone pretty close to my age, because I wanted to talk about like weird stuff growing up in the 80s with the person, you know, like, I wanted those things. I wanted to be like, hey, did you play Pogs? Like, I played Pogs, you know, you guys probably don't know what Pogs are, but like stuff like that, you know, I just wanted that. So yeah, oh gosh, so hard, huh? So we were not in the same life group when we were dating, right? Our church has life groups, like small groups. And that's one thing that I think was really strategic and smart. If you guys aren't already in the same small group, if you guys do small groups, I'd say try to keep some separation there. So thankfully, like, I think we both had support from like our friends and stuff. But we did talk about, okay, I'm not going to this church service if you're going to that one. So we ended up going to different church services, you know? And then, of course, like, everyone has their opinion, right? I had some of my family members be like, he's no good for you. How could he not know all this stuff? And actually, that's a really interesting question. Some people are like, does a breakup mean your relationship is weak or something? Oh my gosh, I think the total opposite. If two people can come back together after a breakup, whatever wisdom they gleaned from the breakup is going to help them be a better partner. It might help give them clarity in the relationship. And in our case, that's how it worked. So no, I don't think breakups mean you can't have a strong relationship, or it's not going to work out, or you have something weak. No, uh-uh. Yeah, so hopefully that answers some of it.
Kev's probably going to cut us off here, but oh, okay. Can I just respond a little bit further to this question over here about getting close too soon emotionally? I also came across some good advice once about dating, and it had to do with not praying together. Don't pray together. I know that may seem counterintuitive, but when you pray together, you typically are connecting with each other in a spiritual way, and as you connect with God. And you're asking God's will to be done, but at the same time, you may be misleading yourself because you're connecting with her as you're asking for God's will to be done. And that may cause you to be confused. And it may be subtle, and it may be in your subconscious, and you may be manipulating her or him when that happens. So counterintuitive advice, don't pray together.
It can manipulate the intimacy.
When you get married,
it can manipulate the intimacy, right? Oh, now we're so connected. But
yeah,
I mean, if you're praying over a meal or something, not a big deal, right? But if you're praying over your trauma stories with each other, now you're really bonded, right?
And then I just have one last thing here, because the question didn't get asked. So we read this book when we first got married called Love and Respect. And we learned quickly that women need love, men need respect. Women need love, men need respect. And I didn't know that until I read that book. But it turns out that it's true. If, for the ladies in here, if you want to know the way we tick and what is the, and how to speak our love language, so to speak, it's respect. If you tell us that you admire us, or you think we're strong, or you think that we're a good man, even though we're not, but if we think that you think we are, if we think that you think we are, we feel amazing. We want to go run through walls for you. We will go to war for you. We will go to war for you. If you think, if we think that you think that we're strong and a good man, that is, I'm telling you, if she is amazing at this. She tells people in public about, she says compliments about me along these lines, and I'm like, who are you talking about? But I feel incredible. I feel like I just had like 10 shots of espresso. And I'm telling you, we will go to war for you, and you're worth going to war for. All of you ladies in here. And then the last thing I'll say is beyond that respect thing being our energy bar, for the men in here, this is the exciting thing. If you are a man in here and you like the Indiana Jones movies, raise your hand. Is that before your time? If you know what I'm talking about, raise your hand. Why do we like that? Why do we like that? We like it because there's an adventure he's going on. There's an adventure, right? Men, we love exploring. We love being pioneers. We love the adventure. Why? Because we want to travel to the secret parts of the earth and see its beauty. When you date a woman, you're not even scratching the surface of the depths of her canyons and the depths of her rivers. She's got glaciers like Alaska inside of her waiting to be discovered. Seriously. She's got cliff edges like Yosemite waiting for you to show up and check out. She's got waterfalls that you will never dream of within her. And as you get to know her when you're married, you will be amazed at this undiscovered beauty. You're a pioneer. You're the first one discovering that. And as you get to know her year after year, she'll open up more of herself to you. And that's where you find the adventure that's worth living, men. It's not in pornography. Talk about a false beauty. It's inside of her. It's inside of your wife. So when you date, you want to give her a sense that you are the man that's willing to explore the depths of her, not the surface of her. And when you do that, she'll be willing to open up more and more to you and trust you with the depths of her the rest of her life. And as you give her an environment where she feels comfortable opening up to you, she will blossom herself. She will begin to be creative, and all of her creative energies will come out, and then she will become more beautiful over time. So if you want the most beautiful 90-year-old in the senior citizen community that you live in, you explore her and you create an environment for her to let her creative energies loose. And that's all we'll say for now.
So yeah, I like what he was talking about there. There's this, you guys can come on up as we go back into some worship time, but there's this aspect of getting to know the inner beauty of a person. But ladies, you got to be careful to guard your heart and not reveal that inner beauty too soon in a relationship, because they have to earn it. They have to earn the right to hear your story, to know your dreams and know your deepest desires. They don't deserve that. Your future husband deserves that. And guys, you don't deserve to hear it right away. So you have to build that up, and as you get to know each other as friends, as you get to know the deeper parts of each other and build that intimacy. So the last thing I wanted to say is that, and we touched on it throughout the evening, but there's this idea of infatuation. And infatuation, neuroscientists talk about, is puppy love. It's what we talk about when we were in love. It's that in love period of time, but it's literally a process that's only 12 to 18 months. That's why you see a lot of celebrities get divorced or break up after a period of 1 to 2 years, is because the infatuation, the puppy love, the in love phase has faded, and they no longer know how to love this person. But the Bible talks about different types of love, including this word agape love. And if you read 1 Corinthians 13, I put it on the back of your sheet, but it says agape love is patient. Agape love is kind. This isn't eros love in the Greek. And the Greek had different words for love. In the English, we just use the same word, love, love, love. But they had friendship type of love. They had like this sensual, sexual type of love called eros, where we get our word erotic from. But then there was this word agape that was like sacrificial love. And the Bible says the sacrificial love is the kind of love that Jesus laid down for us, the kind of love that Jesus gave us. And in Ephesians, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That word in Ephesians for love your wives, husbands, that word is agape. He's saying sacrificially love your wives as Christ sacrificially loved you. With the same type of love that Christ loves his people, you are to love your wives in a sacrificial way. So I want you to remember that infatuation, I wrote this on your card, infatuation is not true love. Infatuation isn't bad. It's okay to feel that romance of 12 to 18 months. Enjoy it, the honeymoon phase. Enjoy it. It's awesome. But after that's gone, now you're faced with a choice. Do I want to sacrifice for this person and love them as Christ loved the church? Because now they're no longer giving me those butterflies. So that's the point. Infatuation is not bad. It's just not true love. True love is agape love, where you're like, you know what? I don't care if I have feelings or butterflies or whatever. I'm going to choose to sacrificially choose you and you only. Out of all the people in the world that I could choose, I'm going to choose you and you only. And I'm going to choose to love you till I'm 95 years old, till death do us part, even when the butterflies fade. That's agape love, and that's the difference between infatuation and true love. And if you could get that right, then you'll have a successful relationship, a successful marriage, at least from what I've heard.
Yeah, we're going to sing a hymn, and it's the words are old, but